This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler, heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. Welcome to the program with a unique focus on helping Canadians avoid probate. The one thing everyone should know about probate is that it's not inevitable. With some planning and good advice, you can avoid the exhausting, expensive, and time-consuming probate process and have your affairs settled quickly and privately. Speaking of good advice, here are your hosts of Avoid Probate.
Good morning, Zoomer listeners. Welcome to the Avoid Probate Show. Glad you're joining us on this Sunday morning. We've got a full crew here in the studio this weekend. Jason Laidler here with world-famous Ted Walshin and Debbie Stanley. Good morning, everybody. Hi, Debbie. Hi, Ted.
Good morning.
Hello.
How's it going?
Groovy.
Good. Well, we're going to we got a big show, of course, and it's nice when we're all in the studio, I think. I think we all agree on that, I hope. And we're going to talk about some probate stuff.
So Women's World Cup soccer is underway. Woo-hoo. And I understand this. About 2 weeks ago, I read an article where they said, I guess it's FIFA, right?
Yep, it is a FIFA event.
Which FIFA was saying they were guaranteeing each player, I think, $50,000. And now, yesterday, I see on CP24 or wherever it was, that they cannot guarantee every player $50,000. Well, what's the deal with that?
I don't know anything about that story, but I do know that the women, the poor women who are going to play for our country, are doing so without a contract with Soccer Canada. And they're very unhappy that it's... This is not a surprise. The World Cup, you know, it's been planned for a long time, right? It's years and years and years. And the men who were at the World Cup recently for the first time in 37 years or something, they went into the World Cup with a contract, and the women are like, hey... What's going on? Why can't we have a contract? They're asking for parity, but regardless of what they're asking for, they have nothing. And they're going to go fight. They're going to go play for Canada with no contract. And they're saying they're still going to give it their all and represent the country the best they can. Keep in mind, this is the same team that won Olympic gold.
Mm-hmm.
So the Canadian women, you know, on the world stage when it comes to soccer, they've really risen through the ranks. Literally, they're sixth on the planet as far as FIFA rankings go.
Mm-hmm.
They're in what they call the group of death. The groups they play in the group stage are drawn at random,
yeah.
And they're in there with Nigeria, Australia, and the Republic of Ireland. So they're calling it the group of death. But none of those teams, I believe, rank higher than the Canadian women do. So right. They're in with a chance.
So do you think the Canadian women's soccer team could beat Toronto FC?
Wow. I'm not going to touch that.
They're not having a good year this year.
They're not last. The funny thing is Miami is last.
Yeah.
The famous guy.
Messi
is about to join Miami.
Yeah, for like, he is signing one of the most lucrative contracts
I think it's $200 million a year.
Well, you know why that is? Because he's getting a piece of the action from the team.
Yeah.
Plus his salary. Plus Adidas is giving him a whole whack of cash. Because he signed a deal with Adidas.
Yeah, but that's sponsorship. That's separate from what MLS is paying him.
I know that. I know that.
Yeah.
But if you put everything together,
yeah. It's
like
amazing. Messi, you know, Argentinian world champion. Argentina won the World Cup.
The Saudis wanted him. He went over there for a cup of coffee. And
this is that sports washing thing. Have you heard the term sports washing, Debbie?
I've never heard that before.
Sports washing. It's a new term where mainly they're blaming Saudis for buying sports. So they bought... PGA. Ted's a big golfer guy, right? They bought Liv.
Well, they merged with the PGA.
They have now merged,
yeah.
But it wasn't merged initially.
They started their own league, and they bought a bunch of players at ridiculous prices.
Exactly.
And some of these guys were over the hill, and it was...
But that's what they're saying. They're saying they could go to the English Premier League, the number one league, soccer league on the planet by far, and they're saying they could buy Man U, Chelsea, they could buy Arsenal, they could buy these teams.
If they allow. And I don't think that they will, though. That's the thing. Well, because remember, all these leagues, they... As a matter of fact, Chelsea just got bought out.
I was going to say, there's four teams in the Premier League that are already owned by Saudis. Four of them. already out of 20, 22, 24. I can't remember.
Well, I think Leeds just got bought. Yeah, I think it was Leeds. But do you know who bought him?
No.
The San Francisco 49ers of the NFL.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like the sports show. It's the Avoid Probate show. Thanks for joining us.
And the thing is today, I mean, as we speak right now, they're playing over Rome. They're playing the British Open.
Speaking of golf,
yeah.
As I mentioned, Ted's a big golf guy. The British Open, cool. Who's your man in the British Open?
I'd like to see McIlroy win.
Okay.
He won last week in the Scottish Open.
He won in Scotland. He beat the Scottish guy by one stroke on the 18th hole.
There you go.
Yeah, I saw the highlights.
Yep.
That's all I can handle, man. I can barely handle the highlights. It's like, I'd almost rather watch the Indy.
Well, you know what I mean? People who think golf is boring are people who don't play golf.
Are the same people who think car racing's boring?
Because
around and around.
If you play golf, you understand how difficult the game is. And you appreciate the shots that are being made.
Do you play golf, Debbie?
I agree with Ted there. So I don't golf, but my husband's a big golfer. And yeah, when he watches tournaments, he's enthralled and I'm fast asleep. The second they start talking, it just lulls me into a nap.
You mean whispering like this?
Yeah, and it's all low key.
And I never understand that. You know, you see these guys in the NBA taking free throws and the crowd behind them is going insane trying to distract them. And they got to sink this ball in the basket. But the golfer's going to hit a ball that's not moving. Shh. Gotta be quiet. He's gonna, the ball might jump off the tee.
I know.
Like, come on.
They have to be quiet because I'm napping.
Oh, I see. I'll get all about Debbie.
I see, yeah. It's all about Debbie. Debbie, of course, is with us every week with the solving the probate puzzle. We're gonna get something exciting today out of you in the next segment.
You'll have to stick around to find out.
Oh, that's a hook. I think Ted says that's a hook, right? In radio lingo?
That's what we call a hook in the
hook.
Radio
now you gotta wait till after the first break, which is coming up very soon. But before that, Debbie, before we went on air, you said it's, what did you say today is?
It is Gorgeous Grandma Day.
Did you make that up?
No. I Googled and it's Gorgeous Grandma Day, so I do want to wish all our grandmas out there happy Gorgeous Grandma Day.
Okay. Hi, Mom. Right. I guess with that, we'll take our first break of the morning. It is the Avoid Probate Show. We're going to talk about probate stuff for sure, like we do every Sunday morning here on AM 740. Jason, Ted, and Debbie in studio with you. We'll be right back after this.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
Hey, it's Ted Wallerstein for Tom's Place. Our fall merchandise is starting to arrive, and we've got massive amounts of summer clothing that needs to be cleared. Blowout prices on virtually everything, like designer suits, regularly up to $5.99, now from $167 to $267. Beautiful sports jackets, starting at only $167, and designer dress pants and shirts, all at $67. Check out our deals throughout the store on the very best of designer menswear. Huge savings off our already below retail prices. If you need a suit for an upcoming wedding or any special occasion, we are Toronto's one-stop suit shop. For the finest outfit for every occasion, there is no better time to find the perfect addition to your wardrobe. Everything is on sale to make way for our fall merchandise. Tom's Place is open 11 to 6 weekdays, 10 to 5 Saturday, 12 to 5 Sunday. Visit Tom's Place, 190 Baldwin in Kensington Market. Tom's Place, we'll suit you.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Avoid Probate Show with Ted Walsh and Jason Laidler, and Debbie Sandley will join us. Well, she's already here, but she will... She will join us in her segment.
Yes.
Her personal own segment.
Her special segment.
But we will remind you that the information provided in this program is for general consumption only. It's not intended to provide particular legal or investment advice. Every situation is different. If you have legal or investment questions, we can help you with that. And in order to get those answered, contact us either via email at info@avoidprobate.ca. That's info@avoidprobate.ca or toll free. The number is 1-844-667-7628. That's 1-844-667-7628. 888-346-2628.
Well, that's all we got time for today, folks. Thanks for joining us on the Avoid
Probate. Well, I still get people saying to me, could you just, take your time with the phone, because people don't necessarily have pen
and
hand,
Ted so. Will give the number out again before the
at
end
least
of the
two
hour.
More times. I promise you, I will do that. Each week, it's the Solving the Probate Puzzle segment with our friend Debbie Stanley from ETP Canada. This is episode 2, meaning file number 2, and we've titled it Roxy Moo. That's the person who's being probated.
Yes, if we can get it there.
For a substantial amount of money.
Yeah.
Did you say $74,000?
$74,000.
So far.
Minimum.
This is our best guess at this point.
It's a guess at this point, yeah.
Because we do have the online institution and we have no idea what's in there because we cannot get any sort of conversation going with them until we have probate.
And speaking of minimum, just I want to clarify, it doesn't include admin fees either.
Right.
Legal fees. Yeah. Professional fees.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now, have you run into anybody who has cryptocurrency in their portfolio?
We have not administered an estate that has it, but we do have clients on our docket that will eventually come to pass with crypto. So stay tuned for a segment. Maybe episode 3 might
Ted,
have crypto.
Ted wants to know how all this Bitcoin, going to get
handled. I'm not touching it.
Okay.
It's definitely going to be more complicated. Yes. But in this case, for the estate of Roxy Moo, we do not have crypto, which is good because we've had enough hurdles as it is.
Tell us, what's the latest hurdle? Let's let the listeners know what's going on here. There's a real live case. I shouldn't say live. I hate that. A real time case for a real person, not the real name. And Debbie is acting as the executor for this person's estate. So she knows what she's talking about. What's going on?
Well, as a recap, we have a condo and we have been cataloging the contents of the condo and appraising certain items because there were some interesting, unique pieces in the condo and trying to make it ready for sale. But of course, we can't sell it until we go through the probate process. We have some brick and mortar financial institutions, and then we have some online financial institutions as well. The brick and mortar institutions hold the investments, not bank accounts. And the bank account was switched to an online one without our knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem that we have encountered is with our best guesstimate, we estimate that there's about $74,000 in probate tax or probate fees, whatever you want to call it. The real name is estate administration tax that is payable to the Minister of Finance before or with our application to the court. So we have to submit our application with this check. Our problem is we can't...
Well, you have to submit the check with the application.
Right.
And I want to be clear, there's no timeline for submitting the application.
Correct.
Or you could drag your feet, and people do. I'm not saying you would do this. I'm just saying, I want the listeners to understand, once the application is submitted, then the clock starts ticking, sort of. But until the initial application is submitted to the court, the executor can drag their feet and... Mm-hmm. And take as long as they want to put together the application, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend dragging your feet.
No, I get it.
But it does take time, even with us working as fast as we can. We are in July and our client passed in May. So, I mean, we're already at 2 months and that's us trying to do this as fast as we possibly
as a professional,
can.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And we've hit now this hurdle of how to pay the probate fees, which is what I was talking about last week.
Right.
So where we left off was that we reached out to the financial institution that holds the investments and we said, look, here's our situation. Is it possible for you to issue us a bank draft to the Minister of Finance so that we can get probate? They came back to us with, well, we don't know. What are you using it for? And, we want permission from the beneficiaries.
What are you using it for?
Yeah.
Didn't you tell them it's for the probate application?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll get into that in a second.
I'm thinking of going to Hawaii.
Yeah. I would like to go to Hawaii, but so we had each beneficiary sign a letter saying that, yes, they authorize for the sale of these investments for the use of the probate fees. And we sent it to the financial institution and they reviewed it and they still want more information
Holy
to
cow.
Prove that we are in fact using it for the probate fees. So we have letters from the beneficiaries. We have a letter from a lawyer. We sent them a copy of the probate calculations, and they came back to us yesterday insisting that we have an invoice from the Minister of Finance.
But there's no such thing.
Thank you, Jason.
Because, just to be clear again, the Minister of Finance, the initial application goes to the court. It comes basically as a surprise because they don't know when it's coming and they don't know what's going to be on it because they don't know how much the estate's worth until the application is submitted. So how can they invoice you in advance for a fee when they don't know what is owed?
That's what right? I said.
Right, good. And what did they say?
It's now going to their estate department for review. So the answer to that is they're really going to go look through their manual, which is just, you know, a typed up thing that's very out of date.
Maybe they're going to write one.
Or maybe they're going to write one. So we're at the mercy now of this financial institution. And I understand that you do need to double check everything. I get that. I understand processes and procedures and making sure I'm not going to Hawaii. However, I'm asking for a bank draft payable to the Minister of Finance. What could I possibly do with that?
Yeah.
So we're still stuck. Okay. Luckily, we have two beneficiaries who have been absolutely a pleasure to work with, and we are keeping them informed every step of the way, and they think it's as absurd as we think it is. We're hoping to have an answer and an update for next week's session.
And hopefully the listeners think it's absurd as well, and we should be careful what I say here, but this is a virtual bank issue, and I think I've said before, I'm not a fan, and this is one of the reasons why.
It's exciting.
Because it's not your first challenge with a virtual bank, and it's not even the same virtual bank, right?
Well, the funny thing is, this is not a virtual bank. The virtual bank is the one that we can't even get information from.
Oh, I thought that's who you were talking about.
No, this is an actual brick-and-mortar investment institution.
I was going to ask you, with regard to the virtual bank where it's radio silence, my question is, do you have absolutely no idea how much money is there, or do you have an idea?
The problem is we sort of maybe have an idea, but we can't, you know, you don't know.
Your Honor.
I sort of maybe kind of had an idea.
Yeah.
I have an idea, which we've put on our calculations.
So you did include an estimate of some amount that you think maybe sort of might be
kind of
at the virtual
possibly,
bank.
Possibly, yes.
You sound to me like me, son, like answering a high school math exam. I sort of kind of think of like maybe a...
But we did include it, so we didn't not include that in our calculation. However, we can't access those funds to get the check.
So you took your best guess.
I took my best guess.
Okay.
But now I need some money.
And so what's next? Like,
well, my afternoon will entail another email.
Bank of Ted?
Bank of Ted.
Some of that cryptocurrency?
We talked about that last week.
I have no cryptocurrency.
Yeah. I heard it before.
No, I don't.
So, yeah, we're at the mercy of the financial institution. I do believe that they will pull through because it is the only way to move forward.
It's not. There's those lenders.
There is, but it really doesn't make sense in this case because we have the means there.
Yeah, but you could have the means and not have access to it, and what are you going to do? I mean, you can have all the money in the world, but if you can't access it...
It's true. I think we'll get access to it, though. I'm confident. It just, you know, you have to be patient, you have to push, and I'm stubborn. I've got that Portuguese stubborn in me, and we will get it.
This is why you do that work, and I don't. You know, it's having said that, you know, at avoidprobate.ca, I've said this before, we get two types of phone calls, right? We get the call that says... heard the show. Great. It's a great show. Can you help me avoid probate? Sure. And then the other call is, hey, grandma passed away 3 weeks ago. Can you help me avoid the probate there? And the short answer is no. It's just a flat out no. And that's when we pass it over to Debbie Stanley because we can't help you avoid the probate, but Debbie Stanley and her team at ETP Canada can help you navigate the process the probate. So we don't want to say no to anybody who takes the time to call. We want to, you know, help everybody in some way.
Yep. We're here to help.
What's that line? I'm from the government and I'm here to help? Is that what it is, Ted? Ronald Reagan?
Yeah. Something like that.
Something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a good update. And thanks for sharing that. And maybe next week you'll have news.
I'm hoping so. I'm feeling good about it.
I'm optimistic. Admire your optimism. So, okay. And if people want to reach you at ETP Canada, Debbie, the best way for that to happen is?
We can be reached at our website, which is www.etpcanada.ca, Our phone number is 866-309-0387. And our email is info@etpcanada.ca. And if after this segment you thought, boy, I really wish there was a course out there, guess what? There is.
Tell
us. You can find it on www.executorready.ca.
There you go. And there we go. Off to a break and back in a moment. Stay with us.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
Hi there, this is Jason Laidler from the Avoid Probate Show, and I'm pleased to say I'm having a conversation, a quick conversation, to introduce my friend Paul Portman from Portman Law, who is a regular contributor to the Avoid Probate Show. He's one of the lawyers on the team at avoidprobate.ca. Paul, how are you?
Good, good, Jason. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So you're one of the lawyers on the team because you have an expertise in law, specifically in what part?
So I specialize in estate law, litigation, and bear trusts. I do quite a bit of work in that area.
And I'm glad you mentioned bear trust, because we often talk on the Avoid Probate Show about how a bear trust can help avoid the probate on property, correct?
That's right.
And it's widely misunderstood, but it's something that you're able to help our listeners figure out and avoid the probate on their house, cottage, commercial property, whatever it might be, right?
That's correct, yeah.
And how does it work? Like, in a nutshell, the way the bear trust is set up, tell us real quick.
Yeah, so a bear trust in a lot of ways is like any other trust agreement. The major difference between a regular trust agreement and a bear trust is that the bear trustee doesn't really have any powers in relation to the trust. They can't really do anything other than what's explicitly in the bear trust agreement. And the bear trust agreement doesn't say anything other than they're holding legal title.
So really, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't create a tax event. It just simply avoids the probate nightmare.
That's correct.
Okay, and if listeners want to contact you directly, I mean, they can always reach you through us at avoidprobate.ca, but if they want to contact you directly, the best way to reach you is what?
They can contact me by email at paul@portmanlaw.ca. That's PORTMANLAW.ca. Or they can contact me by telephone at 647-527-5878.
And it doesn't have to be a bear trust question in particular, any estate question. You can help them out, correct?
That's right.
All right. Well, thanks for being here today. And I know you've been a guest on the show in the past, and hopefully you'll be a guest in the future. And we will continue to work together to help all the listeners at AM 740 Zoomer Radio who have any estate planning questions. They can call Jason Laidler or they can call Paul Portman directly.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Avoid Probate Show. Ted Wallace and Jason Laidler and Debbie Stanley is with us for the entire program as we broadcast from the studio here at the Zoomerplex. Normally, we're broadcasting from our homes via Zoom. Zoomer.
Oh, nice.
Well done.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And we do want to invite you, by the way, not to come over. We want to invite you to join us on our website, which is www.avoidprobate.ca. There's all kinds of neat stuff there. A free probate calculator. You can play around with that and see roughly how much probate might be payable on your estate or your family's estate. And there's a button for those of you who missed shows, want to hear it again. Click the Listen to the Show button. It'll access past shows. The last few weeks have been updated, and then there's a bit of a gap. We're filling in that gap so that everything eventually will be there, but there's still a lot of content there for you to go back to listen to if there's something that you specifically wanted to hear.
And I got to jump in, Ted. I mean, thank you for saying that, because it amazes me how many listeners take the time to write and say, hey, when are you going to update the podcast list? And that's just, I'm flattered that people...
Well, it's not just listeners, it's staff members.
That's right. Okay. Anyway, to Ted's point, yes, that work has begun and there are updates.
Yeah.
So have a look.
As usual, you can contact us through your service provider, the internet. The World Wide Web, at info@avoidprobate.ca, info@avoidprobate.ca, email us there, or call 1-844-667-7628. That's 1-844-667-7628. Jason.
Cool. Okay, there's a few things I want to get at in this segment here. Random topics, of course, all related to probate, more specifically avoiding probate. So let's talk about that real quick. The solution that we try to talk about every week here on the Avoid Probate Show, remarkably simple. People ask me all the time, how come I haven't heard of this before? I call it the best kept secret in the country because the bank's not going to tell you to move your money. But the simple solution to avoid the probate on the investment money that is normally at the bank, I realize it's not always at the bank, but no, let's just pretend that's where it is. You know, we do a transfer of some of that money from the bank to an insurance company where the rules are different. You cannot put a beneficiary on the non-registered money at the bank. And an example of that would be your checking account or a savings account, not the TFSA or the RSP or the RIF. Those are registered accounts. And even though, oh, I see this so often, I saw it just earlier this week, even though you can put beneficiaries on the TFSA, it doesn't mean there is one. In fact, believe it or not, people, this person, I'm not even going to say the gender, who has more than one TFSA told me that one of the banks that holds your TFSA, I just named a gender, said she cannot put a beneficiary on it. She was told that.
Did they say why?
I just told her they're wrong. I don't know if they said why, but she was told she cannot put a beneficiary on her TFSA. I said, yes, you can. And it's still there. I said, I don't even know why you left it there. They're wrong. It's going to get probated. If you pass away tomorrow, it will be probated unnecessarily. You should be moving that TFSA. We can do the transfer for you. We do transfer registered accounts as well as non-registered accounts. We do it all the time for lots of different reasons. And one of the main reasons is because someone will just say, listen, I'm not really that happy with the rate of return, and we're going to talk about rates of return in a minute, but I'm not happy with the rate of return, the performance, or the service that I'm getting where the money is today. So, plus, I don't want another set of statements, Jason. So, yeah, move it all, please. Move it all to the insurance company. Put the beneficiaries on the non-registered money, which didn't exist before, and simply by adding those beneficiaries, we're going to avoid what I call the probate nightmare. You know, Debbie Stanley talks about it every week in segment two, the probate nightmare. We're going to avoid that on the non-registered money because that's a thing. The insurance companies, they have special rules. Is it legal? I get that question. Yes, of course it's legal. We wouldn't do this show every week for very long. There's regulators listening. There's bankers listening. There's my mom's listening, you know, et cetera. So it's a thing. It costs nothing to do the transfer if you're under the age of 85. We move that money, we create a portfolio that everyone's comfortable with, the money's not locked in, and we avoid the probate. Plus, there's other benefits to having the money at the insurance company. The insurance companies are competing with the banks for what we call assets under management. There's other advantages. I don't have time to get into it today. We've talked about it before. Call if you want more information. Better still, call and book a no-charge consultation. We will come to you, explain it all in more detail, answer all your questions. You'll be an expert in probate by the time, after 45 minutes, by the time we leave. There's so much misinformation out there.
I have a follow-up question.
Go ahead.
I'm sure many of your listeners are wondering, but do you have a minimum to work with?
I get that question quite a bit. The short answer is yes, but I almost want to say no, because the minimum is $5,000.
Okay. So it's reasonable.
Like, it's reasonable. It's almost, the answer is almost no. Like, it's $5,000.
Right.
And that's not my minimum, by the way. That's the insurance company's minimum.
Okay,
we can't open an account at the insurance company for less than $5,000.
Right. Yeah, I hear clients a lot, or say a lot, that, you know, the minimum was $100,000 somewhere,
yeah,
or
no,
$250,000.
No, 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 no.
So that's very reasonable and attainable.
It's entirely reasonable. I mean, frankly, if you only have $5,000, you probably don't have a probate problem to worry about.
Right.
Anyway, but to answer your question, and it's a great question, and I get it from time to time, you know, what's your minimum? Because it's not an all or nothing proposition, mm-hmm. right? So you might have $5 million and you're not sure if the insurance company thing, because it's foreign to you, you're hearing about it for the first time, you're a little bit nervous, you know, and I get that because the insurance companies are not doing a good job of promoting this service.
You talk about the fact that that probate is not applicable under $50,000.
Well, I said five, but you're right.
Probate tax.
Yeah, under $50,000, mm-hmm. if you've got under $50,000 in a bank, right? But what if you've got $40,000 in a bank and you've got $1 million home? That home, it can be taxed,
it's
right?
A good question.
So is that home now, so are you now going to be probated on $1,040,000?
Yes.
Go ahead, Debbie.
Yep. Unless the home qualifies for first dealings and you have a second will, you've done some pre-planning.
Oh, now we're going to get phone calls on first dealings. Yeah. It's okay.
However, yes, it would be the $1,040,000.
Right.
Yes.
Because as we were saying before, it's based on the value of the estate on the date of death.
Mm-hmm.
But Ted makes a good point. Like, does the bank know you have a house? Maybe not. So if the bank, if all the bank knows is you got $32,000 in a checking account and they don't know if there's a house, are they going to require probate on the whole estate? Because how do they know if there's a $1 million house?
This is true. However, the $1 million house would be the trigger.
But well, that's true. You're right. We do have to probate because we can't change the title.
That's correct.
So probate's going to get paid. Yeah, that's just an unfortunate example in that case.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, probate would be required anyway. But,
right.
But yeah, but Ted, I know where Ted was going with this, I think. The bank, and you alluded to it as well, Debbie, even though if the province isn't going to collect any probate fee because the province doesn't require any fee on estates worth less than $50,000, the banks, for some bizarre reason, have the power to require probate on estates worth less than $50,000.
Yeah. Especially when there's no will.
That's a bone of contention for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I
know. Yes. But it,
when there is a will.
When there is a will, it's a bone of
contention.
That's
a bone of contention, yes, right.
However, when there is no will, I understand because you do have to prove who is in charge of the estate. So I do understand that. But when I've seen it where there is a will and they're still choosing for $40,000 for the probate process.
Or less.
Yeah.
And let's be clear, really clear on this. Having a will does not get you out of probate.
Correct.
So Debbie's talking about, you know, the advantage or a situation where it's frustrating, where there is a will and they're still asking for probate because what she's saying is there's no question. There's already a named executor. There's already named beneficiaries. That's what's in the will. So there's no question in the banks. There should be no question for the bank as to who's in charge.
Right.
So why do you need probate on a $30,000 account if you know who's in charge and there's no question about it? That's what Debbie's saying.
So let me just backstep here. Yeah. I'm going to talk about wills because one of the biggest reasons that people don't have a will is because they don't want to go and pay for the cost.
Yeah.
Go to a lawyer or go wherever to have a will made, right?
Right.
But you can do your own will. Like, I don't know if you read this recently in the paper, but Aretha Franklin, who died 5 years ago, the courts finally settled on a will that they found literally in her couch.
Yes.
I did not hear that.
It came out, a week ago or so? Yeah.
In her couch. And they said, okay, there were two different wills. One they found somewhere else, and then they found this one on the couch, and they looked at the date on this one, and they said, this is fresher than the other one. We're accepting this.
Imagine if that couch had got tossed into the, you know, call junk guys.
Yep.
Yeah.
There
exactly.
goes the couch.
Yeah.
Imagine what gets tossed out of couches.
So think about that. You know, I guess if you're an executor of somebody's estate, you know, I mean, think about whether or not there may be another will kicking around.
Yeah. Well, and that's the bank's defense, right? That's what the bank is saying when you go in there. Even if you go in there with a will and say, hey, man, I'm in charge of grandma's estate. Here's the will. And I'm the executor. They're like, hold on, buddy. We don't know if you wrote that will yesterday or if there's another one.
That is a really good point. We can create a will as often as we want.
Sure.
We can handwrite a will. I could write one right now on the table that completely contradicts my current will. However, I don't know. I still think as a province, we could streamline the small estate. I know there's a small estate process.
That's what I was going to say. We're being specific with regards to estates worth less than $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're saying. We're not talking about the $1 million estate. That's a different animal.
Yeah.
But for less than $50,000, if there's a will, come on, let's assume that will's legit. And if it's not, what's the worst case scenario? It's a $50,000 lawsuit. For the bank, you know how much debit fraud they're paying for on a daily basis? The $50,000 is a drop in the bucket. And that's we're assuming that it's fraudulent, and it's not always going to be fraudulent. There'll be one in a hundred, right? Maybe. Or if one in 1,000 are fraudulent, okay. Maybe the province could offer protection, you know, in exchange for not being able to require probate on estates worth less than $50,000, the province will protect the bank if there's a will.
Yeah, there's got to be a better process. I don't know what that answer looks like. Part of the problem is half our population, the Canadian population, doesn't even have a will.
Mm-hmm.
So $50,000 less or not, I think the first solution is how do we figure out for people to have a will? And if we could do that, then maybe there's a way to track them. I know that we have a bit of more of a registration system, but it's still pretty new. So is there a way to track your latest will? And then you could verify against a tracking system.
Why is there no tracking system? I don't get it. Like, why doesn't the province create a registry that lawyers are mandated to use?
Yeah, there are some, but they're newer, right? They came into existence pretty much during COVID.
Yeah, but it's helter-skelter. There's no main registry as far as I know.
No, and some wills are very old, right? There's a will,
But to your point, if you write one on a napkin today at lunch, how's the province going to know? How's anybody going
to
know?
You'd have to go register it. So
and then shove it in your couch cushion.
Yes.
Who's like going to know?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Except for the person who finds it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the first problem that we have to tackle and then go from there. But it's very frustrating. And to your example where you said there's $40,000 in a bank account, well, let's take that example and break it down further. What if you had $10,000 in one bank and then $20,000 in another bank and another $10,000 at a different bank, and two of those banks say we don't need probate, but one of them does?
Yeah, you're out of luck.
There's so many hurdles, and it's so unique, and estates are so complicated.
Because what Debbie's getting at is, if as soon as somebody asks for probate, the whole thing is probated.
Yes,
that's what she's trying to say. So two bank managers could have been in a good mood on that particular day, and one was in a bad mood, and that's too bad for you, because now you got to probate the whole thing at all the banks because of that one bank manager who's in a bad mood.
Or by the same token, you could have $20,000 here, $30,000 there, $30,000 there, and none of them know about the other ones, and everybody's saying, that's okay.
Well, they don't know, but
yeah, but I'm saying, unless somebody does.
Bank A isn't concerned about Bank B's liability.
I know that, but what I'm saying is that collectively, you're over the $50,000.
Yes.
But nobody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah, it could work that way, too.
But the province is okay with that, because let's just say you are over the $50,000, and it goes undetected, let's say. The province is not the person, if you can call it a person, it's not the entity asking for probate.
Mm-hmm.
The province, even though they would get a fee if somebody else required probate, the province is not the entity requesting it. They just happen to get a fee if it's over 50K.
Right.
Maybe the solution is that we have a fast pass probate where anything under a certain $50,000 goes through super fast stamping system or something.
Super fast. The probate
super
man.
Super fast. Yeah, the probate man.
Okay. All right. Before time's moving on here, we're wrapping up the segment quickly. I wanted to talk on the fact that June 30th has come and gone. So that is mid-year statement day. And what I mean by that, a lot of financial institutions, insurance companies, i.e. insurance companies, issue two statements a year, not quarterly, not monthly, twice a year, and one is mid-year, which is June 30th, and one is year-end, which is December 31. So we know, because we see it, the June 30 statements have gone out. If you haven't received it, you'll be getting it very soon. I know some clients have received it. It takes time. I mean, June 30th is the cutoff. Then they got to do all the data processing and print them and put them in the mail, and then Canada Post, et cetera. So it does take time to get to your house, and it's happening now. And I know that because I'm talking to clients daily. And I can say our clients are thrilled. Markets are up year to date. Remember, 2022 was a crappy year for investors globally. The war, inflation, et cetera. Most people did not have a good year with their investment returns in 2022, even if you were in the, quote, safe bonds. Bonds got beat up in 2022, as well as equities. But what does that mean? Well, it was the first downturn in 10 plus years of bull markets. So it was like nine steps forward, one step back. It really wasn't a big deal, but it did upset some people. I get it. And it's all about timing. If you just put your money in at the beginning of 2022, you weren't happy at the end of 2022. But I'm here to say, the recovery is taking place slowly but surely. And year to date, as of June 30th, I believe the Dow is up. I stand to be corrected on this. The Dow was 15% and the NASDAQ was close to 30% year to date. And that's year to date. So our clients are happy with their statements. I know this for a fact. I was on the phone with one just the other day. And just because I was talking to this person on the phone, I pulled the client statement up so I could, have a informed conversation. And the year to date number, now granted, this was a few days after the 30th, but let's just call it mid-year. The number was 24% on that person's investment portfolio, as of the day I was looking at it, the day before.
Right.
My numbers are yesterday's numbers. Markets hadn't closed. So 24%, that's pretty good. Is that comparable to bank returns? I don't know. It depends. See, people think the rate of return is a function of the financial institution, and it's not, right? It's a function of the underlying investments. So I'm not going to say you can't get 24% of the bank. Of course you can. You could get 34% of the bank. You could get minus 4% of the bank. It depends on how the money is invested. And we have a certain way of doing things at avoidprobate.ca. Remember, we're talking about the money that we're moving from the bank to the insurance company, creating a portfolio that everybody's comfortable with. We're not putting your money in a portfolio that you're not comfortable with. That's crazy. You know, it's not a good day to get sued. So that's not going to happen. So we make sure everyone's comfortable with the portfolio. It's flexible. It's not locked in. We're making recommendations. I know you're probably leaning towards us for recommendations. I get it. And that's what we're here for. And we're trained to do that. So I just wanted to comment on market returns. It's an opportunity to trigger the reset. We talked about this reset option at the insurance company that the bank doesn't provide, that lets you lock in your gain notionally. Raise the floor of the minimum amount that'll get paid to your beneficiaries. If that's confusing for you, call us. I'll explain it to you. But that's an option that's available when the money's at the insurance company. Resets. It costs nothing to lock in your gains. So that's a beautiful thing. Another advantage to having the money at the insurance company besides avoiding the probate.
Right. All right. We'll take a break. And when we return, we'll go to the mailbag. And Ms. Stanley will deliver the mail today.
Nice.
It's your mail lady. Your mail mom. So stay with us for that and more right here.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this. This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back and a good morning once again. It is the Avoid Probate Show with Ted Walshin, Jason Laidler, and Debbie Stanley is with us as well as we head into the mailbag. And just to let you know that the mailbag is only possible because you send us emails. And the way to do that, by the way, it's very simple. info@avoidprobate.ca. That's info@avoidprobate.ca. That is the easiest way to do it. But if you just feel like making a phone call and posing a question to Jason's mom, that's cool too.
Hi, Mom.
1-844-667-7628. 1-844-667-7628. So there you go. You have two viable options.
So normally, Ted would probably be reading an email to share that we received in this segment. But since Debbie, we're all here today, Debbie's here as well in studio with us. And I think she mentioned during the break that she's got a story she thought she should share with the listeners. So let's hear it.
Yes. And it is an actual question that we received not too long ago. And there's actually been a bit of a trend with this particular question. So I'm glad that you asked if I had anything. The question we received recently was that the family prepared the probate application and the inventory of assets, and then they discovered some high-value items when they were emptying out the home, and they wanted to know, should they also include that on the probate, not the application, but the estate information return?
Okay.
And their thinking was, because it's not a bank account, why should we have to include this?
Great question. Must come up all the time.
It does, actually, yes. And I think a common misconception that I encounter with potential clients or clients is the fact that we can't pick and choose what goes through that estate information return and what probate is applicable on. Because if probate is required on an estate, it's on everything that falls within the estate.
Okay. I want to explain real quick here. We talked in segment two when Debbie did her update about the application being submitted to the court to open the file to get the probate ball rolling with the court system. So there's the application. There's many forms that get processed by Debbie and her team. But the main form is the application to get the ball rolling. And then, and we've talked about this before on the show, since 2015, when the province revamped the rules in Ontario, there's a new form. Well, it's new as of 2015. It's not so new anymore. And that form is called the Estate Information Return, and that's a 7-page document where the executor or somebody acting as the executor or for the executor is required to list all the assets in the estate, including, and I've read the section from the guide. I've read it out loud here on this show more than once, where the guide, I don't have it in front of me today, says something about bank accounts worldwide, which is a mistake, right? You're not reporting worldwide bank accounts, are you, Debbie, on the estate information return?
Yes,
you're
we listing are. Them? Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm told from some of the lawyers that we work with that that's an error, and you don't need to pay probate on the money you have in Fiji. Right?
Right.
Okay, I don't want to get into that right now, but the point is, I just want to explain, you mentioned the estate information return and this item, this high net worth item.
Yes.
You know, should you include it? Because people think when there's no paper trail, like it's not a bank account, right?
Right.
So, I don't know, it's a Fabergé egg. Is that what you call them, Fabergé eggs? What they're called?
I think so.
Those Russian diamond encrusted eggs?
Mm. Yes.
Okay, well, whatever. It's the crown jewels, whatever it is.
Yes.
You find it in the closet and you blow the dust off it and you think, well, no one knows it's here. So how's the province going to get mad at me
right.
if I forget to include it on the estate information return?
Right.
And so your response to that person is what?
Well, it is a risk, right? So I know I'm on the air right now, but yes, you could say I forgot to put it on. However, the province or the Minister of Finance has up to 4 years to audit this estate information return. And if when they're reviewing the return and all the backup to go along with it, they discover this existence of this diamond-encrusted Fabergé egg,
right.
they're going to say the executor knowingly withheld this information, and they'll be subject to fines and possibly even jail time.
Yep.
So is the risk of forgetting it worth it when you could end up being caught?
Well, this is the Avoid Probate Show, and of course we do everything by the book and recommend that everyone, all our listeners, comply with all the rules and regulations in the province, always. But of course, you know, these things, well, they can be forgotten legit or discovered later.
Yes.
Legit.
Yes.
You didn't know there was a safety deposit box. You didn't know there was another safety deposit box. Whatever.
There's always something. More times than not, I would say that we're doing an amended estate information return for clients because there's always something that was not known about.
Right. And so one of the other changes that took effect in 2015 was that these amendments are time sensitive as well. Because to Debbie's point, we've already said she's estimated what the probate is owed on Roxy Moon's estate because she doesn't have all the info from that virtual bank. So it's an estimate, which means it's probably not accurate and it's going to be adjusted. And when the rest of the information comes to light, and it will, let's assume, used to be 90 days that you had to make your amendment. The government got a lot of pushback on that. 90 days wasn't enough, so they've doubled it to 180 days, correct?
Yeah.
So you have the executor has they're on the clock. You find that second safety deposit box or whatever it is, the egg, whatever. You find something else that wasn't included in the initial report. You've got 180 days to resubmit that or you're in trouble.
Yeah, you want to do it as soon as possible. The second you find out, you want to start amending that and getting the tax paid because you don't want to forget either, right? There's so much paperwork involved in an estate that's something that could easily be put to the side and forgotten about. But what we have had as a follow-up question to this question is, okay, well, we'd like to avoid the probate on this item because it's a Fabergé diamond encrusted egg. And Jason, you say it a lot on the show, but what happens when somebody wants to avoid the probate after a death?
Posthumously. It's next to impossible. It is virtually impossible to avoid the probate after the fact. There are certain assets that can be like personal assets and some types of shares of corporations, Canadian corporations, where we can avoid the probate if we use a second will, right? It's a form of estate planning.
Yes.
Again, that happens pre-death.
Yes.
All the probate avoiding strategies we employ take place pre-death.
Yes.
The bear
planning
trust.
Planning involves pre.
Yeah, pre. That's right.
I'm surprised when you pass along stocks and the stocks are worth $10,000 and a year later they go up to $20,000, they don't come running after you for the extra $10,000. But they're worth more now.
For more probate fees.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, interesting. Well, That's a really good point, Ted, because this question comes up a lot, too, because, Uncle Sam passed away yesterday. Obviously, it takes time to, like Debbie said, to do the assessment and to begin to sell things and get valuations if they're needed or whatever. So you finally get the number, and the number is whatever 3 weeks later. But the number, the probate fee for that check that gets paid to the Minister of Finance, it's based on the value on the date of death.
Yes.
So to Ted's point, yeah, of course, the condo's going to go, let's assume the condo's going to go up in value mm-hmm. with time. It's going to take time to sell it. It's going to go up in value. The stocks are going to go up in value. Whatever. Let's assume stuff's going, the values are changing. Mm-hmm. But regardless of what the changes are, the probate fee is only based on the value on that particular day. And that poses a challenge, right? Because what was it worth on that day? Yes. How are you supposed to know?
Well, that's why you need appraisers.
Exactly.
You need documents. But yes, the way we explain the probate value on date of death is a picture in time. Imagine there was a snapshot taken on that day of all your assets. That's what the value is. Now, if it goes up or down after that, then that's for the tax return, the income tax return. You can have capital gains. You can have capital losses. There's things that happen after. But probate is the date of death only. And we do get a lot of calls. Hey, I sold the house for less. Can I get a refund on my probate
really?
Tax? Yeah. And we have to explain, no, I'm sorry. It was date of death value. So, Ted, I know you bring it up a lot, but last year, right, the houses were going mm-hmm. bananas, and then they went down, and there was a lot of estates stuck in probate.
And interestingly enough, because in many places they're going up again, mm-hmm. houses, but the cottage industry is going down.
Is it?
Yeah. Hmm.
Okay, well, all of this stuff is stuff that we want to help you avoid, right? Debbie mentioned valuations. Valuations can be very expensive, especially mm-hmm. Business valuations.
Yes, business valuations.
If there's a business in the picture, and time-consuming and money spent, and just aggravation, money, stress levels, we can avoid all of it. Call us pre-death, mm-hmm. preferably. Pre-death calls, preferably, of course. We don't know when you're going to pass away, and we can't control that. I get it. So we can still help you after the fact. I don't want you to not call just because mom or grandma's already passed. We want to help you with that as well. But just more reasons why you should be moving mountains to avoid as much probate as possible.
Absolutely. I think, I say it a lot, but pre-planning, setting up the right appointments and setting up your wishes, it means you have a voice and you have a choice. And when we don't, then it's a lot more expensive and you're coming to deal with me.
Which is a lovely experience.
It's a great experience.
It's a lovely, of course, yeah, in Hawaii.
Oh, of course.
All right, also known as Guelph.
Yes.
The Hawaii of Ontario?
It's the island version.
That's it for us today, folks, for another week of the Avoid Probate Show. Thank you for joining us. If you're new to the show, hopefully you'll join us again next week. Mm-hmm. We will be back. I want to thank our producer, Kelly, for taking care of us from behind the glass. Ted Walshin for his decades of radio excellence. Debbie Stanley's been in studio with us all morning. Thanks for being here, Debbie. Ted, before we go, I got to tell you, I thoroughly enjoyed that podcast with Roger Ashby,
yeah.
Enjoyed that.
Legendary broadcaster, Roger Ashby.
Between the two of you, what do you got, 99 years of radio experience between the two of you?
He started his first job in radio. He was part-time. He was 17, and it was in, Kitchener. And then about a year or so later, he got a job at CQC in Hamilton. He was there for 1 year before he went to Chum, which is incredible.
I heard
make
it.
Make that kind of a leap. And he spent something like 50 years in the Chum organization. Nice man. Really enjoyed it. This week on the podcast, the comedian Luke Lindale. He's a comedian. He's an actor. He is a writer. And he's a producer. And he's put together the Danforth Comedy Festival.
Cool.
Which is coming up August 4th and through the 6th. And then again the following weekend, August 11th through the 13th. Featuring a number of different comedians, including the very talented Sean Cullen. So we talked to him. He's got some great stories. He actually performed for a while on stage. He did with his dad, the duo dads.
Have you got a slot to do some stand-up during the session there?
No, not this time?
No. There was a day.
There was a day.
Not today.
Now I just make myself laugh.
Okay. All right, thanks again for joining us.
It's actually kind of sad, really.
On the Avoid Probate Show. Hope you learned something. We'll be back next Sunday. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
You've been listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler. Heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.